welcome to another episode of the Monday Mile podcast. Today, we're in London with a man who took Paris 2024 Olympics by storm. He's a two-time Olympian and medalist, a Commonwealth gold medalist. He's a diver, and he spent most of his life in budgies with the eyes of the nation watching as we saw today's guest, Noah Williams, claim silver in the 10-metre synchro diving with Tom Daly. And then he went on to win his own bronze medal in the individual. Noah, welcome to the Monday Mile.
Thank you for having me.
How are you?
I'm freezing, but I'm good.
It's a little fresh, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
I guess you're used to feeling fresh, though, because I swear, I did once dive for, I'd say, about 2 weeks. During that process of diving, they kept us sat in the pool waiting for our turn to dive again. So I was always cold.
Yeah, it's not ideal, is it?
No.
So even if you're waiting outside, you're not wearing much, so it's also cold there.
Yeah.
But waiting in the hot tub's the one. That one's a lot better.
Do all pools have like hot tubs to jab?
Not all of them, but nowadays, especially if at a competition, they'll get like a temporary one, which is great.
Yeah, I'd be all about that. Maybe like a little sauna sesh.
I wish.
That'd be good. So why diving?
I don't know. It was like the only thing I was good at.
I don't believe that.
No.
For one second.
I did gymnastics. Okay. I wasn't very good at that and I didn't enjoy it. So it was like kind of both things. Then because diving was similar, I was like, might as well try. Yeah, I ended up here somehow. That's literally it.
That simple. Your trajectory to 2 Olympic medals. Now, diving is a sport that takes some serious guts.
Yeah.
Do you think doing that gymnastics has put you in a good position to have the basis to be able to do? Give me the degree of rotation, because I know snowboard language.
My hardest was 4.5 somersaults.
4.5?
Yeah.
So you go in head first.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous. How do you even know where you are?
So you're meant to kind of see where you're going. But it's way too quick and it's like such a blur. So I just kind of like feel it. Do loads of repetitions, get the muscle memory in, and then you're good to go. That's kind of what I think is the way forward.
And when it comes to trying a new dive for the first time, because in snowboarding, way back when, I first ever did a double, went around twice, upside down. I would describe the feeling as you never ever feel quite ready to try something new. Would you say you experience that in diving when you go to add that extra rotation?
I definitely think so, because you're always going to feel a bit sick with like the adrenaline, a bit nervous. But then there's sometimes it like goes well on the first one. It's like, oh, never mind, I was ready. But before going, like, it's always going to feel like super scary.
Yeah, it is terrifying. I'm literally instantly thinking of my snowboard days and sort of imagining if it would be the same. So talk to me about Paris.
It was good. I really enjoyed Paris. Obviously my second Olympics, but the first one was Tokyo, and that was, I guess, different to what a normal Olympics would be, because there was like no one there with COVID. You know, I went, I guess, didn't really get the experience I wanted, but also I did really badly, so that didn't help.
Were you forecast to do well in Tokyo?
Not medal, but like final for sure. On a good day, maybe top 6. I ended up coming 27th, so way off that. That made me obviously want to do better in Paris more. It made me really want to go and just show I'm better than what I showed in Tokyo. I think then, you know, doing synchro with Tom, there was a lot more pressure than I expected. We dealt with it well, and that's the main thing.
How did you deal with that pressure? Obviously having won Olympic Games under your belt is a huge help for anyone that's not been to the Olympics. The first time is, it kind of hits you, right?
Yeah, I mean, apart from obviously there being no crowd, it was pretty much the same as Pat, obviously not the exact same because different country, but the whole experience was very similar. That stuff, it was good to know kind of what you're going into. Going into Paris, I had to deal with a lot less, I guess, not knowing what was going to happen, how they run the event, where you have to parade, like how busy it is, how long you have to wait in between each dive, all of those little things I think kind of add up. So I like went in a lot more confident, even though I did not do well last time.
And you competed in the individual and the synchro, 10 meters.
Yes.
Okay, now we're talking 10 meters. That is incredibly high. We're like talking double?
I think double that, yeah. It's like, I think it's 2 double-decker buses. I think. And then like a car maybe, or maybe I've made that.
Two double-decker buses.
I think so.
But that is like...
Maybe you're making stuff up.
That's like absolutely ridiculous. Like most people wouldn't even consider jumping off that.
No.
And you go upside down 4.5 times.
Yeah, well, but that's what I love. You know, like every time the Olympics comes around, especially on social media, people are like suddenly an expert in diving.
Oh yeah.
And they're like, oh no, too splashy. And it's like, I'd love to see any of these people even go up there and just try and jump off. But I find it quite funny.
Too splashy.
Yeah, it's like, oh, wrong.
Right, talk to me about synchro. Because previously, you dove with Matty Lee, Commonwealth Games, casual gold.
Yeah, good
one. That's got to have been a good warm-up for Paris.
I was actually way more nervous for that one because the year before, Matty obviously won the Olympics with Tom. So going into it, people were, I guess, expecting Tom and Matty to go because the tickets were sold out like crazy quick, but Tom wasn't diving. And then I was like kind of there in place of Tom, but I'm not as good as him. And then like the crowd was obviously, because it was in Birmingham, it was a home crowd. So it was so loud and it was like so nerve-wracking. And then I got like I think my calf cramped and I like couldn't even walk, but I didn't want to pull out because it was
the Commonwealth Games.
So it really wasn't going well for me, apart from the fact that I guess we did run, you know, won, but everything else behind the scenes, I was like falling apart.
So going into it, you're sort of, at this point, the underdog, and you've got this expectation. Tom's not there. I've now got to fill his shoes to enable Matty to do well. How much of that success is based on relationship and trust?
For synchro, so much. Me and Matty were like friends. We weren't crazy close before, so we just hung out more. If we did everything together, like outside of diving, so obviously in training, we trained together, but outside, we'd also hang out together. Suddenly, we'd just, our lives would be in sync. And then
you can just do everything magically on time together.
Exactly, that's how it works.
And when it comes to being at the top of the 10 metre platform, so let's start with the Commonwealth Games. It's you and Matty. How do you get that timing?
People think it's like super complicated, which maybe it is, but like he just says 1, 2, 3, go, and then...
And then you're
we
off.
Go, yeah. And if we go at the same time, perfect. It works well.
And then it works really well.
Yeah.
And when it comes to different body shapes and sizes, how important is that for the timing? Like if you were, say, considerably bigger than Matty, would you have to start later because you'd fall faster?
Yeah.
Do you like my physics that I'm
I do,
doing?
Yeah. It's pretty good. I mean, no, you're right. So, well, me, Tom and Matty are all the same height.
Well, that's a bit convenient, isn't it? The Spice Boys of diving.
Exactly. Look at that. They're a little trio. So that's why we were able to, you know, Tom and Matty did it and then me and Matty did it. And then obviously it ended up being me and Tom. It came pretty easily. That was a big factor because we're all pretty similar, you know, height.
And before Paris, you hadn't really dived with Tom, is that correct?
Yeah, not competitively, yeah, no.
And so to go from being with Matty to Tom, how do you adapt? Or is there not much work that needs to be done because you're the same size?
Like little tweaks here because I'd never done it with him, so I didn't know what was going on. But so it was the same. He'd say 1, 2, 3, go, and then we'd figure it out from there. Like if we'd go in like our normal dives and it was a bit like different, it's like, okay, how do we fix that? But then after you fix it and then you know what's going on, after that, you don't really change anything.
You're just in.
Yeah, you just kind of trust the other person and then do your dive yourself.
And is there more pressure diving with someone like Tom? Because the eyes of the nation were quite literally watching your every move. Tom's sort of gone away for a couple of years, disappeared. Everyone's kind of thinking, oh, he's done. And then boom, he's back and he's got a new partner. Does that elevate the pressure?
Well, it does and it doesn't, because before as well, I was getting interviews and people like, how are you going to help Tom defend his title? Stuff like this. And I was like, I never said I'd do anything like that. At the same time, like once I got there, I realized the eyes of the nation are on Tom, but they're not on me. Just because we're diving together, like people kind of only care about Tom. So I was just like, oh, I can just do what I do every day at training. And it should work out.
And did that help you reframe the situation?
Yeah,
to go into it?
Yeah, even though obviously we're doing this as a team, the pressure wasn't really on me. Like nobody cared how I did. It sounds bad, but like that's the truth. And it helped me stay calm. And it worked out in the end.
How's the reception been post-Olympics? Because I know too well that it can be quite the whirlwind.
Yeah,
straight after.
It is. It's like you know, obviously a lot of different stuff to try and do. I want to try and like obviously see family, see friends, go on holiday, go to events. And it's like kind of all too much at once. But then suddenly somebody was like, oh yeah, it's been 3 months since the Olympics. And it's felt like 2 weeks. Christ. It's gone way too quickly, but it's still going well.
Are you enjoying sort of dabbling with new things, but also not having that intense training regime?
I mean, I'm enjoying it a lot. I don't know if some of the divers are already back, so I'm guessing they just missed having a routine. One of the divers, Anthony Hardy, I spoke to him and he was like, oh yeah, I just went back because I missed it having a routine. Like, it wasn't even anything to do with the diving really, but for me, I'm enjoying, I guess, trying lots of different things and like figuring life out outside of diving.
And obviously in diving, when we look at the physiques of the ladies and the men, everybody is in such phenomenal shape. Now that you're out of season and things are a little more relaxed, how are you keeping that on track? Is that in the back of your mind? Like, well, I am going to have to get back in the pool. I'm going to need to get the budgies back on. So I better keep in shape. Are you still installing some form of wellness into your day-to-day?
I mean, I try. I'm a bit lazy at the moment. I'm definitely not as in shape as I was at the Olympics. But it's hard to be in that shape and like keep that physique. Obviously, the Olympics is the peak performance for us.
Yeah.
It's not like we have to stay in that physique constantly. And it took me like so long to get that. Like, I didn't drink for a whole year before the Olympics. And I was on like a crazy strict diet.
I did exactly the same.
Yeah. I mean, it's not enjoyable. It was what I needed to do to get to that point. Yeah.
And you say crazy strict. I'm going to ask the question that everybody that's listening wants to know. What were you eating? Because everybody's so curious about how to be like an athlete, how to get the body of an athlete. How regimented was it?
I mean, you probably don't have to be as strict as I was, but like my metabolism is maybe like a bit worse than Tom's or some of the other divers, so that's why I was crazy strict. But like I'd send every meal I had to a nutritionist, and then like every meal should like tweak it and be like, okay, that was good, or like add in more protein here. So like everything was, I guess, documented.
So down to a T,
yeah.
Everything you put in your mouth.
And like I wouldn't have like snacks or chocolate and stuff for the whole year before as well. So
that is absolutely savage. But I was very, very similar. So then when I stopped, initially it was fine. And then I went on to just discover all these things that I'd not had in so long, like burgers and pizza. And sweets.
Yeah, pizza's pretty good.
Yeah,
yeah,
so nice. And I ate nothing like that.
It is a lot. Some people, you know, might say it's too much, but at the end of the day, like if in my head it was like, I might as well do everything I can for this 1 year to try and do well at the Olympics, because I might not have, and even if I have another shot next time, I think this was kind of my peak age for diving. So I wanted to do
prime
as well
time.
As I could this time. Exactly. Hit the peak and then we'll see what happens
after. Yeah, and zero regrets. It's the only way to do it, I think. And I did exactly the same. It didn't go quite as well as yours went. But okay. I have no regrets.
You can have no regrets because you know you tried everything.
So have you been indulging a little more in the finer things in life, like pizza and chocolate?
Pizza and wine mainly, which is not
pizza
ideal.
And wine?
Not together, but those are the two main ones that have
nice.
Come back into the diet. Hence why I've got a little bit of a belly at the moment.
Oh, come on.
No, you can't see. I'm wearing baggy clothes.
I don't believe that for one second, because your feet haven't touched the ground. You casually did a little trip to Kilimanjaro.
Yeah, just a little detour, you know.
How was that?
It was really good. I found camping hard. I feel like everyone talks about the climb. It's like, oh yeah, it's this physical or like this. And I found that part fine, I guess, because, you know, I've trained for like the last, not for climbing, but still, it's still active. But then...
You're used to going up and down steps, right?
Yeah, exactly. I'm used to that.
I mean, that's
surely... used to going in the shower. That's what I'm saying. Like, I'm used to constantly being in water and...
Being
there was
clean.
No showers, I was like getting rained on. It's like, right, now it's time to get in the tent. And it's like, oh, you don't get a nice warm shower. So that was just me being stupid. Well, I didn't really think about it at all. I was so underprepared. We just turned up, went down, came home. That was it.
I love how casual that is. Like, I feel as though people would normally prepare for a trip like that.
Yeah, definitely normally.
How far was the hike?
I think it was only like 42K, I feel like.
I mean, that sounds quite a lot.
Yeah, but we did it in 5 days.
Yeah,
you know, we're walking a mile today.
Yeah, we are. And to be honest, we'll probably walk further than a mile.
Okay.
So we always do. In fact, we already have.
Oh,
we've already done a mile and we're still going. So casually knocked out Kilimanjaro. You've been traveling quite a bit because we've been trying to get you on the podcast.
Yeah,
You've been on a few holidays, and recently you were out in LA for Tom's retirement party.
That was a good one. That was good.
How was that? Any goss to spill?
No gossip. See, there too much. I was drinking wine too much as well.
Yeah.
Well, some people say, is there such thing as too much? Well, I would say my belly says yes. But anyway, me, Matty and Dan, and then some more of Tom's friends were just all there, basically just, you know, celebrating Tom's career. Now he's done. But yeah, it was such a great time. Have you been to LA?
I have, yeah.
You like it? I feel like the people have, they either love it or hate it.
Yeah, mixed opinions. I think I really like pockets of it, but okay. I think it's really sad to actually just see the poverty and the divide there. But
yeah, it's very different to what I thought it would be before.
Did you like it?
Yeah, I liked it, but also, you know, no, I really like it. But like also at the same time, I'm staying at Tom's house, so.
You're getting a local experience.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like if I went on holiday, I wouldn't enjoy it, but like.
Did you hike Runyon?
Yes, we did Runyon, yeah. Nice. I like a little hike. It was after Kilimanjaro as well, so I was so experienced at hiking at this point. I was like giving them the tour.
Yeah, what a contrast.
Yeah.
Kilimanjaro to Runyon. You can't really compare the two.
No, not quite. But hey, maybe soon I'll be a pro mountaineer. That's the vibe.
Is that the next thing? Because a birdie told me that you might have signed yourself up to the London Marathon.
I have, yeah. The next thing is actually I've got a Hyrox in like a week and a half.
Yes. Is that your first ever Hyrox?
Yeah, I feel like I'm not even going to finish.
Are you doing it with someone?
Yeah, I'm doing it with my girlfriend. We're doing mixed doubles, but I think she kind of wanted me to carry the team. Yeah. And then it turns out to be like 150 kg sled push.
No.
I don't even know if I can push that.
Yeah, I definitely don't think I can.
Let alone do it for time. But hey, we'll see. I hope the adrenaline carries me and then I can finish that one.
My undertaking from this very short conversation so far is you're pretty open and willing to say yes. So
yeah.
What other challenges have you signed yourself up to? Because you say you're sort of chilling and not doing too much physically. But you've got a marathon on the cards.
Got a marathon.
You are low-key training for Hyrox.
And then
you
I've got...
You climbed Kilimanjaro and...
Doing a half Ironman.
Okay, casual.
And then I've signed myself up to do some snowboarding with you.
So you That's are, without a doubt, keeping yourself in peak shape by trying other things.
I wouldn't say peak shape, just in a shape.
Does that excite you, trying
new things?
It does.
Yeah, I love trying new things. People, when I did Kilimanjaro, they were like, oh, the end goal Everest. I'd love to do Everest, but then I found out it's like 100K to do it. So not. But anyway, trying everything and anything is kind of what I enjoy doing. Like even with all my friends, I just did a Brazilian jiu-jitsu lesson not that long ago. I was awful, but it was fun trying it.
It's nice learning something new, isn't it?
It's like weird because for so long I've like done diving, just diving. But it's almost weird and quite refreshing being a beginner at something and being bad, I guess. It's good because there's so much to learn then.
That success in Paris, would you say it's given you the key to freedom to open new doors? Because you achieved so much. Mm. It's like, oh, I now can take a step back and try it. Because with a lot of sports, you're not actually allowed to try anything else.
No. So with diving, we're not meant to like snowboard or ski and stuff, but I'm on a break right now. I'm on a break. It's fine. I'm allowed, I think.
You're on a sabbatical. Are you doing a Tom Daly?
Maybe.
A Tom Daly on us,
yeah? Tom Daly. No, it's more like, because I did well, I'm happy with how I've done. I feel like I can try new stuff and see what there's out. I'm not saying I'm not going back to diving, but if I never went back to diving, not got an injury and I can carry on, I'd still be happy with how my career's gone. So while I guess I'm young and I want to try as many new things as I can. That's kind of the vibe.
It's really nice to hear someone talk so positively and be excited about life after sport, because I think so many people get stuck in this monotonous trap and they end up believing that they are their sport and they have nothing else. So by taking this time to try some other bits, like mentally must make you feel
definitely helps mentally. It's scary coming out of sport, not that I'm coming out, but just thinking about coming out of sport, it's all you've done for so long, because I've been diving since I was either 9 or 10. By far the majority of my life, that's all I've been doing.
And how old are you now?
24. Yeah,
I mean, it's still incredibly young, but I actually stopped snowboarding when I was 26 and people are like, oh wow, you stopped really young, and you're like, well, I did it for 16 years.
Yeah, so long. I don't know, I feel like now I can, because I feel like I've got time if where I could try different stuff and then go back to diving for LA if I wanted to, or like try different stuff and be like, you know what, I'm happy moving on. So that's why I want to try as much stuff as I can.
Okay, and we are...
Maybe I'll go to next Winter Olympics for snowboarding.
Do you reckon?
If I'm a natural, when you teach me.
I mean, if you could do the 4.5 flips on a snowboard, you'd instantly be in contention for another Olympic medal.
See, that's what I like to hear.
We are on to quad corks now in snowboarding.
That's a lot.
It is a lot.
Yeah.
And I know the water feels like cement when you hit it at speed, but... I do think snow might be slightly harder than water.
I think so as well, yeah.
I mean, I hate to be that person to raise that, but especially when that snow freezes and becomes ice in somewhere like Quebec in Canada, you don't want to hit that. I can tell you, even after you've gone around your head twice. So, Noah, in this break, seeing as you've casually been to Kilimanjaro, LA, multiple holidays, I've got to ask, if I was to give you... the keys, two freedom and four wheels for the ultimate Michelin road trip. We're talking good tires here.
Wow.
Where would you go? And what three friends would you take with you?
That's such a big question. I feel like I needed more time to think about this.
We've still got half a mile to walk.
I would go through Asia. Because I've not gone there that much.
Okay.
Don't know what kind of road trips there are around Asia, but I'd figure one out.
We're in Asia. Are we talking like tropical warm or are we going snowy?
Is there a medium?
A medium?
Yeah, a nice medium.
Okay.
You know, like warm, but with a little bit of wind.
Okay.
Nice breeze. Everyone's happy.
Nice.
And then three friends I would take.
I mean, like this is going to be quite a long road trip because you're going to Asia.
It is.
So
yeah,
what three friends could you actually...
But I've also got to think about who's not got a job, you know? Can't just steal them away.
True.
I'll take Matty Lee.
Yeah.
Dan Goodfellow.
Yeah.
Couldn't take Tom, he's too busy with the kids. I'll take
Matthew
would be, Dixon.
Like, not fair on the kids.
Exactly.
Right?
I can't, you know, steal their topper away from them.
Okay.
It would be too mean.
I love how considerate you've been on this ultimate road trip. It sounds like it could be good travel.
I think it would be really good. Probably won't happen, but hey, it would be cool.
We can make it happen. We can make all
Perfect.
Things happen on this podcast. Love that for you. And we like to ask all of our guests on the Monday Mile podcast what their relationship is like with Monday. Do you like a Monday?
Oh, you know what? I don't actually mind Mondays too much. For diving anyway, Monday you kind of want to start slow. So it's not like a big hit into the week, if that makes sense. It's
nice.
Like the Monday morning part wasn't like nice and slow and easy. And then the afternoon was like harder, but at least you had to kind of ease into it.
Nice.
So I didn't mind it too much. It's more just waking up after having like a lie in the day before that kind of messed me up.
And on those days where that sort of wake up, of getting up early to get into the pool is a little bit more of a struggle.
Mm.
What motivates you to get up and out of bed?
Well, I guess before it was the thought of, you know, trying to win an Olympic medal.
Yeah.
Now I haven't had to deal with anything yet. Right now it's just experiencing new things, going to events, sorting my life out. That's it.
And the excitement of that.
Exactly.
And lastly, Noah, do you have a life motto or quote that you live by that you can share with our listeners?
Do people live by quotes? I have no clue. I don't think I have any, which is really rubbish of me. I feel like I should. What's yours?
Mine is try something new every day, no matter how small it is, because that one thing will keep you coming back time and time again.
Wow.
I feel like that's quite appropriate for you at the minute.
Yeah, it is. I kind of thought you were just saying that because of the talk we've had.
No, that's...
But that's actually yours.
That's mine.
Okay. I'll think of one. I'll come back in a few years after I've experienced some more things. Talk about that and then I'll have a quote for you.
I can share that one with you if you like.
Yeah, yeah. We'll share it.
Should we half it?
Yeah.
And then we can reevaluate.
Co-owners of the quote.
We can reevaluate it once you've been snowboarding.
Exactly.
Because you might not enjoy the experience.
No, I will. I think I will.
It is quite savage.
Yeah.
It's like a boom when you get it wrong. But saying that, I think maybe I should try the diving because I reckon I could do a flip, you know.
I reckon you can. I'm also quite delusional. Like, I think I'm going to be really good at snowboarding. I've got no experience.
And talking of delusion, you have signed yourself up to an Ironman and the London Marathon. Just quickly, have you started training yet?
No, like, that's a new year kind of thing.
New year kind of thing.
Yeah, problem for
is
next year.
Is there a plan or no plan is the best plan?
As of right now, I've got none. Yeah, I just marathon, just run. And if I don't stop, I finish it.
Brilliant.
You know what I mean?
Well, I think I'll probably join you.
Perfect.
I've not signed myself up yet, but well, I did it last year and absolutely loved it. So there we go. Snowboarding, diving and running. All of the things.
Taking everything off.
Thank you so much for joining us here on the Monday Mile Walk and Talk podcast. It has been such a pleasure to chat to you and just also hear how incredibly humble and open you are to the future. It's a beautiful thing. And I think a lot of people will take a lot away from this.
I'm glad. Thank you for having me.
Monday Mile listeners, it is a wrap. You know what to do. Please do make sure you subscribe to the audio. It's available across all platforms and we are now on YouTube. So get subscribed and we will see you at 12 a.m. every single Monday morning for the early risers. Monday Mile listeners, it's a wrap.